Good morning, Cornerstone. How are we doing today? Doing all right? Have a good Christmas, hopefully. It's the last Sunday in 2025. You know that, right? Last Sunday, 2025. 2026, just a couple days away. Well, I'm glad that you are here today and we get to come together to lift our voices up as we get ready to step into the new year. We're just going to think about God's goodness. Today we're going to hear a message from Psalm 23 about God being our shepherd. And we're going to have some communion time together. So the kids are invited to be part of that. That's between the parents and the kids. If parents think your kids are ready for that, that's up to you guys. This is for those who believe in Christ, who put their faith in him. So anybody who wants to do that is welcome. But we're going to think about how good a shepherd he is. And he's a shepherd who gave his life for us. So let's just be thinking about the goodness of God. And as you do, lift your voice up to him. So can we rise to our feet? Can we rise and sing of the goodness of God?
Are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Your goodness is running after, me. Your goodness is running after, me. My life laid down, I'm surrendering now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, me.
Oh, your goodness is running after. Running after me.
Oh, your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And with my life laid down, I'm surrendering now. Lord, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. All my life you have been faithful.
God is good. He is good. We may go through some hard times, we do, but he's good through it. He's good through it. So just keep thinking about that shepherd, that good shepherd who watches over us and gave himself for us.
I have seen my Father's glory revealed in Jesus Christ. And the more that I behold him, the more he satisfies. When I gaze upon his beauty, when I see him as I should, then my eyes are lifted upward for his glory and my good. There is hope in every trial, for I can trust the Lord. He will turn my heart towards him and help me bear the thorn. So in faith I follow Jesus on the road not understood, for I know that he is working for his glory and my good. Jesus upon the cross that day, what they understood as weakness every praise for the charge that was against me. It was nailed into the wood. Yes, I know that he has saved me for his glory and my good. To our God be the glory, to our God be praise, he alone, the name above all names. I will boast ever only in the Lord my God, for I know his glory is my be made more. Would I seek the only kingdom that far outweighs them all? I will stand before my Father where the faithful saints have stood, and with joy my heart shall praise him for his glory and my good. And with joy my heart shall praise him for his glory and my good. To our God be the glory, to our God be praise, be alone, the name above all names. I will boast ever only in the Lord my God, for I know his glory is my good. To our God be the glory, to our God be praise, he alone, the name above all names. I will boast ever only in the Lord my God, for I know his glory is my good. Yes, I know his glory is my good.
Amen. Lord, we believe that. We believe that when we're going through stuff, your glory is our good. So it doesn't have to be exactly what we want, exactly what we thought. You went through stuff for us, and we're going to go through stuff too. So help us to grow in our confidence in you, in our peace in you over this coming year. And just take us now as we come before your table, that our hearts would connect with you in a meaningful, real way. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat. So we're going to celebrate the Lord's table now, and thinking about, like, some of you are really familiar with this. You've done this like 155 times, and maybe some of you haven't done it as many. We've got a lot of kids here. This is maybe new. So just to remind you and refresh you, or to teach you again, when Jesus did this the first time, he was celebrating the Passover. That was a Israelite festival celebration to remember when God delivered his people Israel from Egypt. They were in horrible bondage for hundreds of years, and God delivered them miraculously. They crossed the Red Sea, all that stuff, and then there's the manna and the pillar of fire and all those things. Shortly after that, every year they would go back and they'd celebrate the Passover because God had rescued them in a powerful, amazing way. Well, Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples when he did this the first time. they were having a Passover meal. And Jesus is, the disciples don't know, this is a normal thing, they've done it all their life, and Jesus is about to infuse Passover with this meaning that they had no idea. Because the shepherd was about to become the sheep. The God of the universe was about to lay down his life and rescue them and us, not just from some kind of physical slavery, but from our eternal slavery. And so Jesus was putting something brand new in this. And now not only do we do it once a year, but we do it throughout the year. We're supposed to do it multiple times. Just whenever you do this, remember not just that first Passover, but the new Passover. So the cup represents the blood of the new covenant, forgiveness that's ours. And the bread represents his body that was broken on the cross for us. So don't just go through the motions. Process and think about this Passover, that first Passover, the disciples around the table and what they were thinking and wondering, and just your own relationship with God, where you're at. If you're not sure where you're at right now, you're not sure if you want to follow Jesus yet, like, don't even do this. This is for those who say, I am a follower of Jesus. You're taking him into yourself. Like, you're saying, I am a follower of Jesus. I'm going to eat the bread, drink the cup, putting almost, it's not literal. Some churches say it's actually turns into the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. That's not actually true. And we don't have to go on a mission to tell them all that. But it represents the body and blood of Jesus. And when I put it in my mouth, it's representing I am trusting Jesus with my whole self. So just going to give you a chance to just process and think and take some time with God. And when you're ready, you, your family, you can come up and grab the elements. The crackers are one per family. I love the idea that families can break bread together with this new since COVID kind of thing. So we just kept it. We don't have to do it that way, but I like that one family can break bread together and share this. So feel free to come up whenever you're ready. But just take a minute between you and God, and then come on up, come down the middle aisle and around that way and find your seat. I'm sure you can do it. So just take a minute right now between you and God. from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the following directives, I have no praise for your meetings do more harm than good. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. They had some issues going on. They were not doing this the right way. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. That's, you ever heard that read during a communion service? This is what he says just before he gets into that thing that you've heard over and over again. They had divisions. I don't sense that here. I'm not reading that because, yeah, you guys have problems. I think we have a good spirit of unity here and love for one another, and I think what God is doing here is beautiful. But it is important that we do this in a way that is reflecting the unity of the body and not differences and one person's wealthy and one person's poor and this side eats communion with like ribs and wings and big loaves of bread and this side has communion with little pieces of cracker. Like they had a whole meal and they were not doing it very well. So we're not doing a whole meal today. We all have the same thing. We all have the same thing. So listen to what he says then. This is more familiar. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." God, we thank you for what you've done for us, for what this means. This is a reminder of a brutal, horrible event that happened it was your intention to do this. This was no accident. Jesus came for the purpose. He was born in a stable for the purpose of giving his life for us. It was no accident. It was exactly why he came. Thank you for that sacrifice, which was for us. The shepherd, becoming the sheep. Ultimate love. God, you are a good father, and Jesus is a good shepherd. So thank you for that sacrifice that was for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. The new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's do this in remembrance of him. God, we often take this pretty lightly. It's very easy to just eat a piece of cracker and drink a little cup, but man, what it represents was not easy. Jesus sweat drops of blood before going to the cross. He prayed and prayed, and his disciples fell asleep. They didn't know what was going on. So God, I pray that we would just really grasp what this means, what you have done for us, and that it would change us. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit, because man, we need you. We're weak, and we have reasons why we're not worthy of you, and you know that. That's why you died. So thank you for coming to us anyway and loving us in our weaknesses, our idiosyncrasies, our differences, our uniqueness. Thank you that you love each one of us. You love each one of us just as we are. You came for us knowing who we were, what we would do, and you wanted us. So thank you for the great sacrifice we celebrate today, made by the great shepherd of the sheep. And we are your sheep. We're your sheep. So God, thank you for your deep, unending love for us. And just take us deeper into your presence, deeper into the cross and into the gospel, the good news that has transformed us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can remain in your seats. The words are on the screen, so you can sing if you want, but you don't need to. You can just continue thinking if you want.
See the open arms of Jesus upon the cross that day. What they understood as weakness deserves my every praise. For the charge that was against me, it was nailed into the wood. Yes, I know that he has saved me for his glory and my good.
Good to do that together. Some of you just did it at Christmas Eve. You got to do it twice in 1 week. Others maybe didn't. That's okay. So we have a question of the day, thinking about moving into the new year. You got any goals? Any goals for the new year? Last year, it was I listened to a podcast and they said, you know what? You should ask God to give you a word for the year. And so I just kind of brought that to God, like, okay, what would my word be that you would want me to focus on? And 2025, the word was presence, not with a T-S, but a C-E, presence, like just to be there, to put my phone aside, to just be where I am with the people I'm with. And that has stuck with me throughout the year. And I started praying about it again, okay, what's my word for this year? And I think it's going to be engage. So, I've been engaged and married for a really long time, so it's not that kind of engaged. It's a different kind of engaged. But yeah, maybe you haven't thought about it yet, and if that's your case, you're like, well, I haven't really thought about it. You can share that with somebody near you, but do you have any thoughts about the new year? Any direction, any goal, any prompting from God? Like, I think he wants me to be doing this or whatever it might be. So everybody back up to your feet. And kids who are third grade and below can head down the stairs to your classes. And everybody else, share something with somebody near you. All right. If you can find your seats. This morning, my dad is going to be bringing a message from Psalm 23. And so he's going to come up now. And as he's up here, I know you guys can do more than one thing at a time. So I'm going to pass around the Winter Home Group sign up. If you haven't been on there, gotten your name on there yet, you can see who are some of the people who are currently planning to be in the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday groups. And if you want to be part of one, put your name on there, and then we can communicate with you about details. It's going to start up in a couple weeks. It's like the third week of January. So January, February, March, home group sign up. Put your name on there if you want to be part. Dad, come on up.
Everybody still with us? That was just to wake you up, okay? Or maybe it was to wake me up. I'm not sure. But yeah, we determined that quite a few of us are looking forward to something. How many of you are worried about something in the coming year? Okay, there's some things that are significant that we might worry about. God has a lot of blessings waiting for us, most of which we don't even know yet. But the world looks a little scary, doesn't it? How many of you watch the news? That's scary. You watch the news and that's scary. We've got wars in the Mideast, wars in Ukraine. It doesn't look like that Ukraine thing is ever going to end. Then we've got inflation that keeps getting worse. Retirement funds are going down the tubes in their 401k and IRAs because the stock market goes up and down and up and down. You never know what's going to happen with all of that. And then you look at AI. Anybody worried about AI taking your job? Watch out, Rick. AI might be teaching German next year. I don't know. It's cheaper. But yeah, some of us worry about our jobs. Is it going to be there? Is AI going to take it away? There's plenty of things we can worry about if that's what we want to do. If you want to worry, you can have all kinds of things to worry about. But is that the route you want to take? Or do you want to joyously look forward to what God is going to bless you with this year? Amen? God has got some great things for us. Let's look forward to that and look forward to what He's going to do. There is a better way than worrying through life. We can depend on God to get us through. How many times has God pulled you through something that you had no idea how you're going to get through? Anybody remember some time when you just didn't know what was going to happen and God got you through? Remember those times. God gets you through. And those of you who didn't raise your hand, it's probably because you just aren't thinking far enough, because God's been helping all of us. We've got that war in Ukraine that we're worried about, but we've got the Good Shepherd guiding us. As a matter of fact, Psalm 23, we just read it a little while ago. I was glad that you read it out of that translation in the NIV. It leaves out one thing, the valley of the shadow of death. NIV just calls it the valley of darkness. But David wrote that, and David had a lot of things to worry about. His life was full of difficulties and dangers. He had to face a lion single-handedly and kill it. He had to face a giant with a couple of rocks and a slingshot. He had to face an angry king trying to kill him, and then a rebellious son trying to kill him. David had a lot of stuff going on. But as we read Psalm 23, remember that David was not always on top either, just as we aren't. But he could still say, along with us, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still, quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul. He guides me along the paths, right paths, for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the place of my enemies, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David wrote that, letting us know that he was trusting his good shepherd. In verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. What is a shepherd? In the picture here, you see a shepherd getting the sheep that had gotten off track. Sheep don't always go where they're supposed to. Sometimes they need some help. The shepherd guides us in the right ways. He guides us to the way we ought to go. But sometimes we think, I've got a better idea. I know what I'll do today. I'm not going to do that. That's boring. I'm going to do this. Then we mess ourselves up and we say, Lord, why is this happening to me? And he says, come on, let me show you what the right path is. Sheep don't always follow the good shepherd. We sheep head off the wrong way sometimes. We think we've got a better plan, a better path, and end up like that sheep, trapped, lacking, because we weren't following the shepherd. The shepherd guides us where we should be. What we need is going to be right there. But we head off in the wrong direction and then said, where is he providing? I can't see it anymore. Well, you're looking in the wrong direction. And so he wants to lead us in the right path, but sometimes we get heading off in the wrong direction. How are you doing? Think about that. How am I doing with trusting and following the Good Shepherd? I can think of areas I haven't been following as well as I should. I need to commit those areas to the Lord. Not just, you know, my Bible reading. I do that every day. But there are times when my mind strays to other things that shouldn't be there. Am I willing to follow the shepherd everywhere? Not just sometimes. Not when it's convenient. Am I willing to follow the good shepherd all the time, everywhere, so that I can be there when he provides everything I need? Often things go wrong because I went the wrong way. I took the wrong turn on my part. I've wasted God's resources of time, money, opportunities on selfish things rather than seeking God's best. So think about it. How are you doing at following the shepherd? He's got the best for you, but do you believe it every day? Are you looking to live life on God's terms? Follow his direction in the Bible? Or are you looking to do things your way and say, God, please bless what I've decided? That's a dangerous way to go. Pastor Nate's offered us an opportunity this year to read through the Bible in a year. I challenge you to do that. Either get the notes as far as what passage to read, maybe get it in the Bible app or get a book. Phyllis and I have ordered the book. Actually, we each ordered one so that we can read through it on paper. We like paper. You know, you might like it electronic, and it's available that way too. But that's a good thing to work on, reading through the whole Bible. I'd venture a guess that there are many people here who have never read the whole Bible. Ever. I've read it quite a few times, but I still learn when I go through it again, and I'm going to go through it again this year. So I challenge you. If you want to follow the shepherd, read his love letter. He's got the best plan for you, and it's right here in his book. He knows what's best. Follow him. Seek him. Ask him for his guidance in your life. As you read through that book in the Bible, ask him for his directions. Follow the good shepherd, and he will lead you in the right paths. Verse 2, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Sounds nice, doesn't it? How many of you have ever gotten out into just a nice green pasture with a little babbling brook going through and just sit down and enjoy the calm serenity away from the hustle and bustle and trucks going by? My house is right near the bypass. We hear that, you know, as the trucks are going by, hitting those Jake brakes. and killing my throat. So, you know, that's not very peaceful and pleasant, but God can get us to that peaceful place. He wants to lead us by green pastures and quiet waters. I understand that sheep will not drink from a running stream. They need to find a quiet pool, and then they'll drink. If it's rushing by, you know, they don't want to get in near it, okay? And sometimes we might get all frustrated and not want to look to God because things are going so chaotic that we just think, well, God can't really help me now. I got to do something myself. Hey, he's there. He's going to guide you. He's got your back. Every day and every circumstance, he's got your back. If you give him your back to lead. And so let's look for that peace, that quiet, not the chaos of life, but the peace that God wants to give. Following the Good Shepherd leads to that peace and confidence. He's in charge. He's got your back and he'll get you through. So we need to keep watching for him. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. He restores or refreshes my soul. Sometimes we need that, don't you? You ever have some times when you just really need to be refreshed? You know, Lord, I'm just so overwhelmed and wound up and worried about this and that and everything else. You know, how am I going to get this done? Just relax. Trust God to show you the right way. And something you can do when you're reading the Bible each day, ask God, Lord, show me your plan today. Not mine. Don't show me how I can do what I want. Show me your plan. He has just the right amount for you. You might think, I've got way too much to do. I can't possibly get it all done. And God's saying, yep, you're right. You can't possibly get it done. As a matter of fact, I didn't even plan for you to get all that stuff done. Take it off your list. Let's do this, this, and this. Submit to God's plan. Ask him, what is your priority today? Oftentimes, I'll make a list every Monday of things I need to get done, thinking I'm going to get these done today. Then realizing this is my week plan, not my day plan. I can't get all these things done today, but I can get some of them. And maybe there's a couple things I just want to cross off. That isn't even God's plan for me that day. So he refreshes and restores my soul and leads me in the right path. My path may not be right. Am I willing to listen to him and scratch some things off that he says, that's not for you. I've got somebody else going to take care of that. So he'll quiet the worry, the anxiety. Ever have worry and anxiety in your life? God is in control of all those daily problems. As a matter of fact, he's got the plan that's going to work it out, even though you don't know what the problem is going to be. You've got problems coming this week and certainly this year you haven't got a clue about. God's already got it worked out. He's already got the plan. You follow him and you'll be at the right place at the right time. You go your own way and you're not going to be at the right place at the right time. Phyllis and I have had a problem occasionally. We've got a GPS, okay? We like to follow a GPS, except when it tells us to go someplace that we think, that's crazy. I don't want to go that way. I'm going to go this way. So we go that way, and then it makes a new plan and says, it's still trying to get us over there. And so we do this, and pretty soon we're so... I remember one time we were driving past Washington, D.C. We ended up downtown, trying to get around it on the Beltway. We ended up downtown. We just couldn't get it right, you know, because we were taking this highway that was supposed to go right through the middle. It ended up dumping us off because we weren't following the directions. God's much better than a GPS. Our GPS sometimes tells us to go the long way around, and as soon as we make this other turn that we know is going to be better, it corrects itself and says, oh, we can save 10 minutes going our way. God doesn't make those mistakes. GPS does. Don't trust the GPS too much, except if you really need to. But God is in control. He will guide you. Thank him daily for his direction. Follow his plan because it's the best. He'll lead you in the right paths. Follow him for his glory, not yours. That's another thing we kind of worry about. It says we should follow him in the right paths for his name's sake. It's not so I look good. It's not so I get done everything I want to get done. It's to give him glory. And if my goal is to glorify God, he's going to get me there because he wants to glorify his name too. So he can use me if I'm listening and following him. If I'm saying, wait a minute, this will get me there a lot quicker. He says, I didn't want you to go quicker. I want you to go right. He'll guide us in the right paths. Now, if my goal and his goal match up, then we're in a good position there. We've got a winning combination if I make my goals his goals. But if I've got my own goals and I'm not listening, some of those goals are going to get me in the wrong place. So trust him. Read his word daily. If you're not going to read through the Bible, read a chapter every day and ask God, Lord, what are you teaching me? How can I follow you today based on what you're saying? And I have to admit that right now I'm reading through Ezekiel. Ezekiel is talking about all the measurements of the temple. And some of the things I write down is, Lord, why are you so picky about all these measurements? This whole chapter was just, this is so long, and this is so long, and this is so long. I'm thinking, what are you doing? But I do see he cares about specifics. He wants things a certain way, and he will guide me in the specifics of my life. So although I don't see in there, I should make my house this big and this big and this big, I do see God cares about the specifics in my life too. So sometimes you'll need to look for principles instead of specifics. God told me to turn right instead of left. But he will guide. So he's going to lead us, and we need his goals in our life. Verse 24, or excuse me, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In that NIV, it has the darkest valley, but I'm thinking about the shadow of death. That's a dark valley. And David, his life was threatened many times. The king tried to kill him. Goliath wanted to kill him. His son wanted to kill him. Then he went to the enemy and lived in the enemy camp and was there for a long time. He had danger in his life. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I personally have faced death several times. I've shared with you one time back when I was in Bible school, and I was working at McDonald's and was out picking up the garbage after we closed. Everybody was out there except the manager was inside counting the money. And this guy comes out of the dumpster area and says, "You, come here." I said, "Okay, I'm coming." "Now." Then I realized his finger was shiny. I said, "That's not a finger. That's a gun. He's pointing a gun at me." "Okay, yeah, I'll be right there, sir." "Yes, sir. What can I do for you?" He tapes me all up, and then one of them goes in, the pistol whip the manager while the other guy's holding a gun at me like this. And I'm thinking, "Would you put that gun down? You're going to slip and shoot that thing, you know." And I was thinking, "Lord, if he kills me, Phyllis is going to be really upset. I'm going to beat her to heaven, and she's going to be so upset. So, Lord, get me through this, please." He did. I made it, by the way, in case you were wondering. So I faced death. Some of you have faced death. And if you haven't faced it personally, you've probably faced it in someone you love. I had a malignant cancer that they had to remove. And God saw fit to get that taken care of, and it's out of there. It was just a skin cancer, but if they didn't get it, it could get a whole lot worse. So sometimes we face death, but there's all kinds of scary things we might face. You might face death or something else that's really scary, but you know, if you're on God's path, he's going to get you through it. He's going to make it right. And even though things might seem like it goes wrong, okay, we were on our way to a Bible study last month, and somebody decided to run a stop sign and plow into us. We didn't get to go to the Bible study that day. We had to call them up and cancel because we were waiting for the police to write their report, which takes forever, by the way, in case you've ever noticed. And then it took a while for us to get our car back. So it wasn't my plan. I didn't even like the plan that much. But God worked it out, and it was okay. And we got notice to the people at the Bible study that what's going to happen that day, and God worked it out. So we don't have to fear any evil, because God is with us. We sometimes lose control. Do you like to lose control? How many enjoy losing control? I think you're lying. We all like to be in control. We all like the things to go the way we want it to go. But you know what? God doesn't plan for us to be in control all the time. That's not his plan for me. Sometimes I need to lose control in order to trust him. He's going to guide me. Those sheep out in the field, they might see this really green patch over there. Oh, that looks so much. This is all rocky. I don't want to go that way. I want to go that way. And they get off track, and then they don't get to the quiet waters that he was leading them to. Sometimes God has to lead us through a rocky patch to get us to the beautiful patch that he's got planned for us. So don't run away from the rocky patch. He's got a plan for you. It might not be easy. It might not be enjoyable every day. But God can get you through. He can give you the peace that he's got your back no matter what. It's interesting. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You all know what the rod and the staff are? The staff, that's the thing that the shepherd uses to walk with, and it's got this little crook on there. You know what that crook's for? For the stupid sheep that's down in the thicket, got in the wrong path, and he can reach that staff down, hook it around his neck, and pull him up and get him safe. So that staff, that's a comfort, that he's going to guide us even through some of the difficulties. But what about the rod? The rod beats that sheep when it gets in the wrong path, when it's refusing to follow. Is that comforting? God is going to come. He's got to correct me. He's going to get me when I do something wrong and straighten me out. Well, you should be comforted. We need that. I need that to get me back in line. And hopefully, he doesn't have to use it too hard. Maybe just tap me a little. Oh, yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. But if I'm saying, no, I want to go my way, he might have to tap a little harder now and get us in the right path. I understand that there are some times when the sheep gets just way off track and will not listen and is totally off where the shepherd has to go looking for it. When he finds that sheep, you know what he does? He takes his rod and breaks one of those sheep's legs. Then he splints it, puts it on his shoulder, and carries it for a month while that leg heals. And when he takes off that splint and puts it down, that sheep is, meh, meh, right up next to the shepherd. I want to stay with you. You got me. You've got my back. So sometimes that rod of correction is there to get us closer to him. We need to depend on him. I'd much rather have the staff that's guiding me in the right path. But sometimes I need the rod. And that's a comfort too, that God's not going to let me head off in the wrong direction and ruin my life. Isn't that a comfort? God will not let you ruin your life. He's going to be there. He's going to correct you, even if it hurts. And I'm sure some of your dads probably told you, this hurts me more than it hurts you. My dad used to say that. I said, yeah, right, it does. Well, God doesn't want to correct us. He doesn't want to cause us pain, but sometimes we need it. And he loves us enough to give us what we need, even if it hurts him as well. And when you think about it, it hurt him a whole lot. He had to go to the cross to take our penalty. He gave his life to give us forgiveness. Yes, he corrects us, but he took the ultimate punishment that we deserved. Hebrews 12 and verse 6 and 7, he tells us about his correction. He says, we can look at that up there. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone who accepts him as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? God disciplines us because he loves us. He corrects us. That rod comes in because he loves us, and he wants to deliver us from the evil that would come if we kept going in the wrong direction. So when things go wrong because you've made a wrong choice, admit it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me get back on track. Help me to follow your direction. You know what's best. He pulls us back, but he also beats us a little if we need it. Both are a comfort. Both are for our protection and safety. Whether he's leading or correcting, it's all good. It's all for the best. Psalm 23:5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. God doesn't remove all the opposition. You may have noticed that. Things come up that are going to make it more difficult. People complain about you having a Bible study. I praise the Lord. We have a neighbor that when we first got there, everything we did was wrong. I tried pressure washing the deck in the middle of the afternoon. It was too noisy. She couldn't take her nap. You know, just all kinds of things like that were going on. And I just prayed, Lord, help me be a testimony to my neighbor. And over the years, we've had opportunities to help her with this or that, the other thing. And now, when I tell her we've got a Bible study, oh, so you're going to have cars parked all over the place? Okay, I'll be aware. And she's fine with it now. God has helped us to smooth things down. I keep praying that he's going to do a lot more than just smoothing things and bring her to Jesus. But that takes time. And so we got to be patient and let him work in his time and let her respond in her time. But God doesn't remove all the obstacles. It says there, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. When things are going crazy and you don't know what to do, God's fixing dinner. Hey, come on, let's eat. He's preparing a party. And you're saying, what's this? How am I going to get through that? Come on, all right over here. We can just settle down and enjoy one another. Let's have some fellowship. God's going to get us through. So any problem that we may be facing, it's not too big for him. It might be too big for you or too big for me, but it's not too big for him. He's going to work it out. And he may not take it away right away, but he'll get us through. We can relax and trust him. Follow his lead, and he'll get us through whatever those obstacles might be that he allows. When he says he anoints my head with oil, that was something that they did back in the Old Testament. I think of, you know, God, somebody pours oil on my head, I think, ugh, all that all over me. Well, they enjoyed that. It was like a perfume. And they didn't have showers and stuff like that. He was out in the field all the time. He couldn't take a bath or a shower. It was just a little stream for the sheep. So he had some oil that made him more presentable. And so that anointing with oil made him more presentable. God makes us presentable even though we're kind of messed up sometimes. Even though we have sinful attitudes swirling in our heads, he's going to make us presentable and give us what we need. He gives us his righteousness that's way beyond what we could do. He comforts us in our problems and calms us through them so that our cup can overflow. He's going to bless us this year. He's going to bless you in many ways if you're looking for it. If you're not looking for his blessings, you won't see them. You'll walk right by. I remember way back when I was in school, there's this one girl at church that I thought she was kind of cool. And come to find out later on, she thought I was too. But whenever I was walking through school, I was walking like this. I wasn't looking up, I was looking down, making sure I didn't trip over something. Come to find out, my dad told me later as we were getting ready to move, hey, you know that girl? She noticed you many times at school, but you never saw her. You were always looking down. Oh, I wasn't looking. Now, that wasn't God's plan. So praise God for that. He had a better plan. But sometimes we're just not looking. So look up. See what God is doing. Thank him for the little blessings. Even in the problems, thank him for those blessings. Don't focus on the problems. Focus on God's provision and his comfort and his guidance and his word, and he'll get you through all of that stuff. He has your back. Verse 6, he says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's loving kindness and mercy and goodness, they're with you. In the hard times, in the good times, sometimes it's invisible. Sometimes you don't see it. Even though you're looking for it, all you can see is this big problem looming ahead. But look past the problem to see the big God that's right there behind it, going to bring you through. I heard a story once about a kid, a little kid. You know, he was probably, well, he was scrawny, not very big. And this bigger kid at school was picking on him and going to try and pick a fight with him. And so this big guy comes up and says, you want to fight me? He says, no, but my brother does. He's right behind you. Oh, and here's the brother. And so the brother was like God. He's there behind the problem. If I just look at the problem, if I get too close and just look at the problem, I'm not seeing God. But if I step back and see God behind it, he's going to get me through it. So look beyond the problem to God and his answer and pray, God, show me how I'm supposed to deal with this. And it might not be that I have to fix it, but I have to do what you want. I remember many times when I was in full-time pastorate, I was supposed to go out visiting door to door all over the place, you know, and I would do that. I would go all over the place visiting people and inviting them to church. And without doubt, I would go out and visit five different families this week, and none of them come to church. But two people from a different neighborhood did come to church. And I said, okay, Lord, you told me to do that. I was faithful, and you were faithful. I did what I was supposed to, and you said, okay, I'll bless you from someplace else. I didn't do it, and that was good. I said, thank you, Lord, you did it. You told me what to do, I did it, and you provided. And so it's exciting to see what God will do, not necessarily even through you, but for you. But be ready to do your part, whatever God asks you to do, be ready to do it for his glory, because he can be glorified. When we can't see his goodness and can't see his blessing, it's still there. And eventually, he's going to work it out. Sometimes it's in this life. Sometimes we can see in this life. I prayed for my grandparents for probably 30 or 40 years before they finally came to Christ. But they did. Sometimes we don't even see it until heaven. But that's okay, because God's still working it out. David didn't see his posterity all come to the, into the kingdom, but he trusted God through it all. Even if you don't get to see the end result in this life, God has eternal life for us. We'll be in the house of the Lord forever. But that's only if you trust Christ, if you receive Him. He says in John 3, verse 16 and following, he says, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him would be saved. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. If we trust Him, we have that promise that we have eternal life with Him. That's a great blessing. That's the good news. The bad news is, if you haven't, you don't have it. It's not something everybody goes to heaven. We all go to that good place when we die. Only those who've received Jesus' payment for our sins. He died on the cross to pay that penalty. If we receive it and trust Him, He gives it to us as a gift. But we don't deserve it and we don't have it until we trust Him. So I challenge you, have you trusted Him? Are you trusting Him as your good shepherd? Are you following His lead every day? He knows what's best. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that if there's anybody here who has never trusted You, that they would place their faith and trust in You today. That they'd come and talk to me or Pastor Nate or somebody else, maybe somebody who invited them, and make sure that they're trusting You. And then, Lord, help us to follow You, because You know what's best. You are the good shepherd if we'll follow You. We praise You and thank You that You're guiding us each day. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Up on the screen, there's some next steps, questions, things to think about. So just take a minute right now and think about, okay, God, as my shepherd, what are my next steps with You going into 2026? Is God a good shepherd? He's a good shepherd. Wonder how aware you are of His shepherding, and whether that's something you're thinking about throughout the day, throughout the week. I did a stupid this week. How many of you were out driving in the ice storm? I know there's at least one, a couple. Yeah. My stupid was my one daughter had a appointment at David's Bridal in Whitehall, and the sleet was just starting to come down, and I sent my girls off and drove, and she's okay in the snow. At least my daughters weren't driving, but as soon as Anne pulled out with my three daughters in the van, I was like, what am I doing? Why didn't I drive? Or cancel the appointment or something. So it's just getting started, and we knew it was coming, but maybe not how bad it was. It was bad. It was bad. And so I'm praying the entire time, God, would You cover for my stupid? Like, I really should be the one driving right now, but I wasn't. And they drove, and I'm following them on my phone. They're still moving. Although, okay, they got there, following them back. They're still moving. What am I doing? Like, I should have drove. The Good Shepherd watched over them. He covers for us sometimes in our stupid. I know you guys didn't do any stupid this week. Maybe it was last week or something. But he's a good shepherd. And we want to be aware of his shepherding. And so we're going to sing a song now. It's just reminding ourselves and lifting our voices up to God. He's the source of our life. Your love, you bring light to the darkness. So the chorus says, it's your breath in our lungs. Every single breath you breathe, every little piece of oxygen your body absorbs is from him. So let's rise and let's sing to God. Remember, he's the source. He's the one who gives it to us. Great.
So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath.
in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, oh.
Great. He is so good. God, thank you for your faithful shepherding, for the staff, and for the rod. We probably don't really much like either. I don't like a stick around my neck pulling me up from a cliff, but we need you. We need you in the uncomfortable things too. And so, God, just give us peace and comfort knowing that you're a good shepherd and your intent for us is always good. And you take us through things and we wander away and you bring us back and you're always there. You don't leave us. You don't leave us in the pit we fall in. You come and get us. Thank you for coming for us as a baby, for being a faithful shepherd as we go through life. God, we trust you. Teach us to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. Thank you, Dad, for bringing Psalm 23 to us. It's a faithful one. It's a good psalm to just keep coming back to. You might want to spend some more time in that psalm this week, but it's good. It's good. And because he was able to preach today, I was able to take some time off. I got to relax a little bit this week. I'm really thankful for that. I was in like vacation mode. It's like, oh, it's Sunday. I got to like think about being with everybody. I was just hanging out with family. It's just been really, really good. So thankful. Thankful for that. We have some things coming up in the future in 2026. You've gotten a handout if you've been here in past weeks. There's electives coming. We got home groups starting, which you pass those things out. Home groups are starting in a couple weeks. We also have electives starting, going through the Bible together. There's a men's study, a ladies' study, a book club. These are electives, right? So this isn't about like you need to do everything that we're doing. Just like if there's something like, yeah, I think I really want to do that, jump in. But there's going to be more of those handouts downstairs. If you forgot it, lost it, like don't remember what they are. So more information is downstairs. But also starting next week, there's a new series starting. We're going to step away from Genesis for 4 weeks. We're doing a series called Beautiful Feet. Beautiful Feet. I don't know how you feel about your feet, but there's a way for your feet to be beautiful to God. And we're going to talk about that. It's really about using our feet to bring God's message to people we love and care about. And this is not a message, it's a series. It's going to be 4 weeks, the month of January. And I think it's actually going to be 4 weeks and not five or six or eight. And then we'll be back in Genesis again. I promise we'll be back in Genesis. But how do we bring the good news to people in a way that's going to be palatable, in a way that's going to be attractive to them, in a way that is appropriate? And I've always felt a lot of guilt about sharing Jesus, and I don't as much anymore. And so this message is not about like bashing you into sharing your faith and like doing it even though you don't want to. It's about like I've been talking to you guys over the course of the last few months, and there's a bunch of you are sharing your faith. You're wanting to share your faith. You want to do it better. And so we're just going to take 4 weeks to think about that. How can we share our faith in a way that is helpful for people and draws them and just in an appropriate way? So 4 weeks, beautiful feet. Maybe by the end of that, your feet will be even more beautiful. But we won't be putting pictures of them up on the screen. So anyway, we've gone a little bit long today. Next week, we'll get out of like 10:10 or 10:15, but it's worth it to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. I hope you guys have had a good day and you have a good week and enjoy the rest of 2025 and we'll see you in 2026. There are refreshments downstairs. Help yourself. Stick around. But we did go late, so stick around downstairs more than upstairs if you're going to hang out. All right? Thank you. Have a good day.